We're continuing our halachic series, Judaism from Head to Toe. And now we're going to discuss a general discussion about dress and clothing. So we will focus our conversation today about men. Some of it is relevant to women as well. Others is not. We'll have to have a separate class for women. So for men, how must a man dress? So the answer is, a man must cover his private parts. That's it.
That's it? This
better? Pause. Now, that doesn't mean we'll accept him into Machon Meir if he walks in, you know, and he's only wearing a very tight form of bathing suit or a fig leaf, right? But technically, halachically, what must you wear? So you have to cover your private parts. We discussed that you also have to wear a yarmulke, you have to wear a head covering. Now, when we stand in prayer, so then it says you have to be acheyechases libo, you have to cover your heart, which means you have to be in a way that's a little bit more respectable. You're standing in front of the king. So there are different scenarios where you have to wear different garb. If in our society it's not respectful to stand without shoes, so then you wouldn't be able to daven without shoes. If in our society you wouldn't go to a respectable meeting without socks, then you shouldn't go daven without socks. If you live in a society where it's not respectful to stand before respectful people without a hat on your head, you shouldn't daven without a hat on your head. If whenever they had in the Knesset, the story goes that I think it was the Queen of England came to address the Knesset, so they asked all Knesset members to wear ties. And they say that Rav Drukman said to them, either I won't be there or I won't wear a tie, but I can't do both. So they asked him, what's the big deal to wear a tie for 1 hour, big deal? He said, nope, if I wear a tie in honor of the Queen of England, then every time I daven, I'm going to have to wear a tie. I can't wear a tie. If that's what I view as respectful, then my whole life, three times a day, I'm going to have to wear a tie. So either I'm not coming or I'm not with the tie. But I'm not going to wear a tie in her honor when I don't wear a tie in honor of prayer. So if you live in a society where anytime you're going to do something respectful, you wear a tie. When I was learning in New York, where you wouldn't do anything respectful without a tie, I would put on a tie for davening. I'd always have a tie there. So that's why in certain societies, you see them with jackets, with hats, with ties, depending on what's considered respectful in that society. So then people carry it over. The carryover stems from another thing. In Europe, people used to look down at those who learned Torah. So the rabbis tried to encourage that those who learned Torah would represent a respectful part of society, so that people would look up and admire it, and then they would send their children to learn Torah. So they encouraged the students in the yeshivas to be dressed high class. High class meaning not the highest class, but of the respectful class. And that's why in some yeshivas they insisted the students be clean shaven. In some yeshivas they insisted they wear a fedora hat and they wear a jacket or a suit, so that when people looked at a guy in yeshiva, they said, wow, that's a respectful person. I want my kid to do that. That was the idea behind in instituting this type of dress code, which eventually became the dress code for the community. The idea was, I want it to be a dress code that shows that these are respectful people. Let's finish and then take questions. So, again, minimally, halachically, we have to keep our private parts covered. Now we have areas of respect when I daven, etc. Now we have other areas called modesty. The more modest a person is, the more they're covered. Everyone admires a person that always wears long sleeves. It doesn't matter which culture. It could be Merkaz Arav, it could be Bnei Brak. Okay, if a person isn't going to die of heat, so then yes, it's something to admire. It's a level of modesty. There are places where they go with their upper button closed also, out of modesty. Yes, the more refined a person is, the more modest they are, so they're going to cover things. The Talmud says there was a rabbi who said even the walls of his house never saw his covered flesh. He was always careful when he got undressed, it was under the covers. And that's a level to aspire to. You want to be so modest. He also took a shower and went to the mikveh and bathed and dunked, etc. But outside that, outside the bathroom, even in the bathroom, there's a level of modesty that a person keeps himself covered, that he only reveals the minimal amount that he needs to. That's also a level of modesty, quoted in Shulchan Aruch. It's levels of modesty. It's not an obligation. Obligation to cover your private parts. Now, as we grow in our refinement, in our appreciation of Torah, in our appreciation of levels of modesty, so okay, you can. Yeah, there were rabbis who would never be caught dead walking down the street talking on a cell phone. Because it's a question of refinement. Today, we've become accustomed to this idea that a person can walk down the street talking. Once upon a time, you used to look down at a person who was walking around. What kind of big shot is that? That his conversation can go on in front of everyone. Why, you know, you're walking down the street. There used to be a certain respect for that. So these are levels of refinement. They're not, you can't say it's obligatory. Again, that's already levels of refinement. Then there are questions of society. You have certain societies where certain dress codes are acceptable. So let's take certain Hasidic societies. What's acceptable is you wear a certain color hat, a certain color jacket, etc. The logic behind it was, this was what was accepted in Europe. They didn't want to change. They said that if we change, then everything could fall apart. We got to hold on to how we were. They wrote all kinds of other reasons as well, but the other reasons are a little bit hard to back up. They're a little bit harder. The logic was, if we can hold on to it, it will help us retain our identity. And there's truth to that. There is a certain halachic logic that the Talmud says, glima. Why is it called the glima? Because when you wear a certain type of robe, so it covers the shape of your body. Some more respectful people used to always walk around with a robe, some garment, over their clothing so that it didn't take the shape of their body. We wear pants. Takes the pretty accurate shape of the body, our pants and our shirts. So, okay, the Hasidim wear a robe over that or some kind of jacket over that that covers the shape of the body. Okay, it's a level of modesty. They wear a belt that separates their, another level of separation. Many Hasidim won't make a blessing without wearing another belt. I was once standing next to a friend of mine, a Chusid, and he says, can I borrow your tie? I said, what do you need my tie for? He says, I'm making a blessing. I said, so what do you need a tie to make a blessing? He says, you'll see. I give him the tie. He wraps it around his stomach, ties it. He says, now I can make a blessing. Makes a blessing and drinks. What are you doing? He said to me, I needed another separation, a gartel. I didn't have my gartel with me. So I used your tie. Okay, good for it. Fine. Again, there is this concept of another level of separation. Fine. It's really mentioned for prayer. None of this is obligatory. The zebra stripes of a certain Hasidim was a cloak that they started wearing when the Sephardi Jews felt threatened by the Ashkenazi Jews. So they said, if you guys want to stick around here, you have to dress like us. So that was the accepted Sephardi garb back then. And what's called the Rabar Alach, they accepted it as their garb. And it stuck. So again, none of this is obligatory. It's more social. It's more the societies that accepted certain things. And this concept dates back to the Mishnah. As the Mishnah in Tractate Shabbos describes, Madiot, Yotzot Prufot, Parsiot, Yotzot Reulot, V'chol Adam, Ela Shediberu Chachamim Ba'oveh. The Mishnah describes the Persian women and the Mede women, that they had different types of hair coverings. They used to wrap themselves like the Arab women. And in Persia, the Arab women would wrap themselves with one type of burqa. And in Mede, they had a different type of burqa. And the Jewish women dressed like the non-Jewish women. And the Mishnah describes how a woman can cover herself, what type of burqa she can wear. And the Mishnah says, really, it's irrelevant. It just depends on what society you're in. You could cover yourself like the Persian women if you live in Persia, like the Mede women if you live in Mede. Every woman, according to her society, that's called her dress. The Mishnah is discussing what's called a dress, what's called a garment that you can wear and walk in public domain. You're not carrying it, but rather you're wearing it. We're allowed to wear clothing in public domain. We're not allowed to carry clothing. I'm not allowed to take a talis folded on my shoulder as I walk through public domain. I'm allowed to wear a talis, but what happens if here in Israel I'm going to wear a burqa? So that's not a normal male clothing here in Israel, right? So the Mishnah over there says, every woman in her society can dress like her society. We're just talking, we're giving examples from what's common in our day, the Mishnah says. So that's a rule. that people adopted the clothing where they live. Ashkenazi Jews dress like Ashkenazim. This is how they dressed in Europe, right? With a jacket, with a shirt, with their pants. The Yemenites came here off the boat dressed in robes, like the Arabs dressed in Yemen. So they were dressed like that. We all adopted the dress, and the dress also made sense, right? You live in a desert nation, it makes sense to wear a loose robe where you're not being too hot. I always joke that to wear a black hat in the heat of the sun is not exactly a Mediterranean type of clothing. Okay, fine. But people have taken that with them from Europe where it made sense to wear it. But to say that's, again, these are social norms. Halachically, that's what we described. For prayer, we described a few classes earlier, those that say you should wear two coverings. But generally, two coverings on one's head. But generally, what we say is dress the way that's considered respectable in the society you live in honor of prayer. If you live in a place like the Arabic nations where respectable people in respectable settings walk around barefoot, you could daven barefoot. If you live in a place where you would not show up to anything respectable barefoot, then you cannot daven barefoot. You have to wear your shoes and socks. But that's in terms of that.